spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliates present Theological The Use of Adversity was written by Theodore and Mathilde Farrow and adapted from a story by Myra Kelly, which appeared in her book, Little Citizens, copyright by Clara Woodhull.
I smile now, looking back, for it all happened a long time ago. And today I am a woman and have known many blessings. But as a girl, I did not smile very much. It was not only that we were poor and that Papa was bewildered by the loss of my mother. We were immigrants, too. And if the new land was wonderful, it was also strange. It was a time when a president named Teddy Roosevelt was shaking a big stick and calling this bully and that bully. And on the Lower East Side of New York, we did not know what bully meant or why he was shaking a big stick. But those were not the only reasons for my not smiling. The real reasons were my 6-year-old twin brothers, Samuel and David.
Oh, what happened?
What happened? You were born maybe without eyes and ears.
Look, a ball.
Thank you, I see it.
Someone threw it?
And you could not name the someones?
Sammy and David, those Yanovsky twins.
Who else?
Yes, to everyone in the neighborhood, they were those Yanovsky twins. And people ran from them when they could. I would have run from them, too. But how could I? I was not only their big sister. I had also become their mother.
So, Leah, today you take the twins to school?
Yes, Papa.
You'll talk to them first, tell them to be good. What is it, Leah?
Maybe you could talk to them.
I'm already late for the shop, and you know the form and how he picks on me.
Please, Papa.
All right. A word from the father. You're right. Samuel? David? So, you do not look up when Papa speaks? Today, you will go to Hebrew school. You will go along with Leah. And when you get there, you will behave. You hear me? Good. Leah.
Yes, Papa?
I talked to them and they listened. You have nothing to worry about. Tonight I'll be home at the regular time. What is it, Leah?
Oh, nothing, Papa.
Samuel, David, now listen to me.
No.
You do not want to learn Hebrew to be smart like Papa? and the foreman?
No.
Why not?
We already go to school, and one school is enough.
We're Americans now. We don't have to learn Hebrew.
Oh, you're wrong. You are Americans, but you're also Jews. Well, to become one does not mean to forget the other. Now, in public school, they teach you about America. But only in Hebrew school will they teach you what it means to be a Jew. Why, you are lucky. You have a new country to which you belong, and a wonderful past which belongs to you. Now, will you come?
No, I don't want to be taught anything.
We want to stay here in the street and play.
Give me a bag of figs.
Oh, you have pennies, little man?
She has.
She?
Our sister.
Please. Where?
Do not give them anything. Oh. They have no pennies.
Whatever the lady says.
Thank you.
No, do not thank me. If I know I'm not to be paid, I'm not tempted to sell.
No figs, no school.
Well...
No. Do not give in to them.
What else can I do? Can I carry them bodily, kicking and screaming? Oh, that strong I am not.
Well, a man maybe could do it.
A man, yes, but I am not a man.
Excuse me if it sounds like boasting, but I am. For me, it is nothing to pick them up bodily. I have the lady's permission?
Yes.
Ah, come.
No!
Figs, my fine young men, you will eat after school.
At the time, I had a pang in the heart. Was it right to let a peddler of figs carry my brothers into the school? A stranger? Still, in life, one is grateful for small favors. And that day I was grateful that the fig peddler was big and strong. It did not occur to me that he was also handsome. Not immediately.
I can assure you, they are the finest figs. Fresh off the boat.
Oh, I must pay you for them.
No. Let us not talk about that, huh? I am made rich watching you eat. You know, it is strange. We have talked, but we have forgotten something.
Oh?
My name is Aaron Katrinsky.
Oh, mine is Leah Yanofsky.
I'm also thinking that tomorrow is a new day. New in one way, but the same in another. That sounds like a riddle?
Yes.
I am referring, of course, to the twins, and I'm asking myself, will one day in school make them over? I'm only a peddler, but I do not believe it. So in the afternoon, I will stand here again with my pushcart.
Oh, if only I could manage better.
Oh, you're too young.
Oh, I'm 17.
That is still too young. It is permitted to give my ideas on the subject?
Yes.
To be a real mother, first it is necessary for a girl to meet a man and fall in love and marry him. Only then is it time for children.
That is what we said at our first meeting. A million years ago, it seems. But the memory is as fresh as a wisp of cloud in today's sky. And for that memory, I am grateful to the twins. But the next afternoon, I was grateful to Aaron Katrinsky, the fig peddler, for he was waiting for us in front of the school.
Good afternoon, Leah.
Good afternoon, Aaron. Well, say good afternoon, David, Samuel.
Well, it is not good afternoon that I want to hear. It is the answer to a question. Young men, do you walk with me into the school on your own four legs, or do I carry you in on my own two legs?
They walked, of course, meekly by his side. Such are the ways of little boys with a man who is strong. But the ways of a girl with a man who is strong are different.
She has choices. She is bold, or she is shy. I was shy. I was also busy. After school, there were the twins. In the evenings, there was Papa. Until the twins were taken with a sickness.
The measles? But it is not seriously.
Oh, no, Papa.
But the doctor talked of the hospital.
That is the law, Mr. Yanofsky, because of the butcher shop downstairs.
The butcher shop?
Yes, the meat must be kept pure. And with measles upstairs and meat downstairs, who knows? The germs could travel.
So, one more question. You say they must go to the hospital. Who will take them there?
Well, they are sending for an ambulance, Papa.
Who will put them in the ambulance?
I will.
You? They will do as you tell them?
Mr. Yanofsky, I do not ask their permission. Leah's permission is enough for me. There it is. I will get the boys ready, huh?
Oh, you do not mind, Papa, that Aaron does this for me?
My dear Leah, a man who does not take no for an answer is a man to feast the eyes on. That has never occurred to you?
I could not admit it to Papa, but it had occurred to me more than once. And with the twins away, I also had a little time to myself. And so time to feast my eyes on Aaron.
Would you like a ride on the merry-go-round, Leah?
Oh, no, thank you, Aaron.
Do not hesitate, please. I have the money in my pocket.
Oh, it's not that, but such things are for the twins.
Always you think of them. It shows that you have a loving heart, but you must also think of yourself. And we too are young.
Well, then, perhaps one ride. Well, I won't fall off.
How is it possible? I will have my arm around your waist.
As you see, I was getting over my shyness. I even asked Aaron to our flat, and he visited there with Papa and talked to him about the scriptures and the tariff and the czar. Papa had long forgotten those things and would sit up all night with him, and the arguments would be terrific. But Aaron also sat with me on our stoop under the warm summer sky. And we did not talk about the tariff.
So, as you know, I'm a fig peddler. But I will not always be a fig peddler. Someday I will sell my pushcart and buy a store of my own.
Oh, you are ambitious. I admire it, Aaron.
I will not always be single, either. A man with ambition and prospects, he gets married. It is to be expected.
Of course.
For that matter, you will not always be single.
Aaron?
What is it? You're not afraid of me, Leah?
No, I was.
And now?
I'm the opposite of afraid. I don't know the word for it.
Trust. There is another word comes to mind. I like it as much. Love.
Oh, there are neighbors, Aaron.
No, do not worry about them. They too are looking up at the stars. Or at each other. Leah, we need not wait till I buy the store. If you're willing to marry a peddler of figs.
Aaron?
You're not willing, huh?
Oh, yes. But forgive me. I'm thinking about the twins.
Oh, again?
Well, how can I help it? They are my brothers. And what would happen to them? Now, who would take care of them?
I would.
And a wife and a store? Oh, you are young. You are just beginning. You too must think about yourself.
But, Leah...
Now, a diary is what a wife should bring to a husband, Aaron. Not troubles and not burdens.
But, Leah, where are you going?
I was no longer afraid of Aaron, nor to look into my heart either. I trusted him. I loved him. But I could not burden him with the twins. I could ask him to carry them into the school, but not to give his life to them.
Please, now, is this what you learned in the hospital?
We didn't learn nothing in the hospital.
We did. We learned to make faces at the nurses. Like this. Gah! Like that. Gah! Bang, bang, bang! Now you're dead.
But Aaron still came. If I was shy, he was bold. Not bold like the twins, but like a man who knows what he wants. And that what he wants is right. But now, when he came, the twins were there. If we sat on the stoop, they crowded between us. And then, he did not come. A week went by, two. Even when he bought his store, he did not come to tell me about it. It was Papa who brought the news.
Today on Division Street, Leah, I saw a young man, a friend of yours.
A friend, Papa?
You cannot guess his name? All right, I'll give you a hint. It was Aaron.
Oh?
A fine store. He's got fruits, vegetables. To know they are fresh, you don't have to pinch them.
He's already in it, Papa?
He's in it, and so are the customers. Six, I counted, including me, seven. He asked for you, Leah.
Oh?
That Leah, he said. Such a fine girl. For some man, she could make a wife in a million.
Oh, no, Papa, he didn't.
All right, I said it. And I also said, how about you? Just give her time. Wait a little.
And then he did say something?
Yes. Man can get tired of waiting. Maybe I can manage the twins.
I'll be a train. Clang, clang. Next stop, New York City. Next stop, Chicago.
Maybe he could manage the twins. He has already done so.
Oh, no, Papa. I could not ask him.
I grew shy and afraid again. I wanted to bake a new loaf of bread and bring it to Aaron in his shop. I wanted to see the shop, the beautiful fruits and vegetables. But Papa had said he was tired of waiting. Perhaps he had already found a new girl and his eyes would be cold when I came in. It was better to dream about him. In my dreams, he was always warm. It was better yet to forget him.
Are you well, Leah?
Oh, yes, Papa.
Downstairs on the stoop, there is a breeze. If you like, I will sit there with you.
No, I'm all right here, Papa.
One day, the twins will grow up. We will even be proud of them. And you'll meet a new young man. That Aaron was nice. How he could argue.
Yes, he was nice.
The twins might grow up to be president. First one, and then the other. But the thought did not console me. For I did not want a new young man. Only the tall, strong peddler of figs, who now owned a store on Division Street. So I dreamed, and did not forget. Until the twins were taken again.
But this is terrible, Leah.
Oh, no, it's all right. Do not worry about it.
But the pox, it can be fatal. I had an uncle who died of it.
But this is the chicken pox, Papa.
There's a difference?
Oh, a big difference.
But the doctor said the hospital.
Well, because of the meat, you remember. It's the law. We We will put them in the ambulance, or they will spend a week in the hospital, and then, God willing, come home again. Will you tell them to dress?
Dress?
The ambulance will be here soon, and they cannot go in their night clothes, Papa.
Oh, of course. Where are they?
In their room.
David! Samuel! Boys, it's Papa.
Who else?
Are you dressed for the ambulance?
Socks, too. Always they try to skip the socks.
Socks, too.
Here, the door is locked.
So make them open it.
Open the door.
David, Samuel, open the door.
What are they doing?
I do not know. Oh, I do know. They've moved the bureau in front of the door.
What will we do when the ambulance comes? How will we get them out? Maybe the doctor will do it.
Oh, the doctor will call a policeman.
A policeman? No, Leah. The twins have caused me trouble, but never have we had a policeman. David! Samuel! Open the door. You will get it from me. You will die of the pox. You will both go to jail. They don't listen to anyone.
Papa, here is your hat, and you can run. It's only 2 blocks.
2 blocks? To where?
Division Street. Perhaps there is one they will listen to.
Mr. Yanofsky, a pear?
No, thank you, Aaron. I've had one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. A plum?
I've had 3.
Leah?
No, thank you, Aaron.
Well, it must be getting late. Oh, yes, it's already 9:30.
Half past nine. The night is young. Such a beautiful night. Such stars. You've not noticed them?
We've noticed them.
It's so quiet without the twins. May they come home soon, of course. Now, about the tariff, Aaron.
The tariff? Mr. Yanofsky, the neighbors maybe would like some fruit. Yes? No. There, on the next stoop. See, they're watching us hungrily.
They're watching, but is it from hunger? Perhaps they would like a grape or two.
Yes, grapes, pears, plums, yes. And bananas. Take the basket, too.
All right.
Stay as long as you like, Papa. Aaron.
Miss Leah.
I have not thanked you.
Oh, what did I do? I spoke firmly to the twins, and out they marched like little men.
They even put on their socks.
Are the neighbors eating?
With great appetite.
Then give me your hand.
Aaron.
And also answer a question, please. Why is it that I can manage the twins, but I cannot manage you?
Oh, I've told you that...
That they will be a burden to me, yes. My Leah, you have a loving heart, but you do not completely understand love. For you cannot love without being burdened.
How so?
To love someone is to worry about him. To walk with him in his cares and worries, to fill his needs if God is willing. If you do not want burdens, then do not love. Walk only by yourself. I would not walk by myself.
Neither would I, Aaron.
Are the neighbors still eating?
Yes, they've just opened a package of figs.
Good. Then kiss your peddler of figs. My golden Leah.
Since then, we have walked together. We have shared our burdens and our cares. And our love has made them lighter.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Oscar Dane of New York City, president of the Conservative Synagogue of Riverdale and associate chairman of the Universal Brotherhood Dinner of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Dane.
The story which you have just heard shows the general character of America. In spite of what some critics say, America still is a land of opportunity. New citizens have faced different problems over the years. But the important thing is that a vast majority of these new Americans have been able to overcome the difficulties of adjusting to a new environment. Because of these opportunities available to them, they have become useful and happy citizens. The success of Americans has generally been measured in terms of economic development. The greatness of this country has also been measured in these terms. We should not deny this wonderful aspect of our national life. But we should remember that the basis of America's economic freedom, or for that matter, the basis of any other kind of freedom, is the opportunity for spiritual development. American civilization was founded on a great spiritual and moral heritage and continues to develop along these lines. This is the real measure of America as a land of opportunity. Today's narrative telescopes the image America has given to the world, a country of high ethical and moral standards, as well as economic ones. Using such a simple story to illustrate these abstract ideals is a splendid idea. It points out that we can do something about ideals. The ideals can be applied to life. At least, ideals can be applied to those areas in life over which we have some control. In all probability, the situation in which we find ourselves present very different problems from those that Leah met in today's script. But all of us do face problems in our own personal lives, in the life of the nation as a whole. The extent to which we apply our ideals in solving these problems will be an indication of how much the American heritage we have absorbed.
Thank you, Mr. Dane. Eternal Light Drama Today, The Uses of Adversity, was written by Theodore and Mathilde Farrow and adapted from a story by Myra Kelly, which appeared in her book Little Citizens, copyright by Clara Woodhull. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Abby Lewis, Alexander Skirby, Sylvia Devan, Sarah Fussell, Madeline Pierce, Maurice Tarplin, and George Irwin. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by Walter Ergot. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.